Amen. If you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7. I want to finish up the gifts here that are written here in 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at some other passages. There's a passage in Romans that we'll look at next. But these gifts, and first of all, we have to go back to the fact as we get into verse number 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Of course, I need to get there. I'm in Hebrews right now, so that doesn't help matters. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look, if you would, please, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another a word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. Remember, we looked at the fact it's the Holy Spirit that gives the gifts. And it's God that, you know, it's the Holy Spirit that chooses who gets those gifts and where those gifts go to and why those gifts are needed. And then we know that the Lord Jesus, He gives the administration of it. The Son gives the administration of it. And then the Father, He gives the empowerment, the power to do those. Now, I think where we go wrong is, for example, in verse number 10, to another working of miracles. Understand, many of these gifts were there because they did not have the full scriptures. There's a lot of people that want to, and especially these mentioned in verse number 10, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse tongues, and interpretation. They'll take verse number 10 and they'll try to say that they have this. What I've never understood, like in the gift of miracles, for example, if Oral Roberts and Kenneth and Gloria Copeland were such faith healers, then why is there sickness on the earth? Why did Oral Roberts build a 9-story hospital in Oklahoma if he's such a great faith healer? It is, and it's using the gift of discernment and understanding that these people are liars. Every human being is a liar. God is not. God cannot lie. Remember, getting back to the fact that God cannot sin. And understanding that those grounds are fighting grounds for anybody that wants to tell me that Jesus could have sinned, you and I are going to go round and round, and I guarantee you're not going to like it. But the fact is, on these gifts, men and women will try to use these gifts, and they have no business. Now, can the devil masquerade this? Absolutely. Whether it be the Satan has his own versions. They're called NIV, ASV, and the list goes on. Those are Lucifer's versions. Whereas the King James Bible is what God has given to us, whether you like it or not. There ought to be one standard, and I guarantee you, for over 400 years, that standard has never changed and has been righteous. Now, in these gifts, we come to the gift of miracles in verse number 10. Also, last week as we looked at those gift of miracles, it's the miracles that were able to be done through the apostles. A lot of this are identifiers. Not everyone's an apostle. Matter of fact, the last apostle was the Apostle Paul. There are no more apostles. I've been around some churches and they want to call themselves apostle this and apostle that. And I think Brother Dimps might have been really close to that. But I can tell you now, there's not been an apostle since John the Revelator. Since Brother John wrote the book of Revelation and of course, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and the Gospel of John. Since then, there has not been another one. And that's where we get into the gift of prophecies. Look in verse 10. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. Now, in this, throughout Scripture, there's really two definitions of prophesying. One is foretelling the future, as Malachi, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, King David in some of his psalms, some of the other psalms that are written by Asaph and Moses, you see. And of course, we understand the prophetic writing of the Lord Jesus being born in a manger of a virgin in Isaiah 7, and also that promise by faith in Genesis chapter 3 and in other places of the Old Testament. That's prophecy, Daniel's 70th week. Much of the prophecies of the minor prophet, if you want to call them that, which I hate that term minor prophet, because there's nothing minor to them. They're major messages. But you have the prophets of the Old Testament. And then you also have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it goes on and on. Brother Paul, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. That is the rapture of the church that's mentioned there, that they which are asleep, he'd have us not to be ignorant, brethren, concern them that sleep. And he mentions that, of course, John the Revelator in the book of Revelation and the foretelling of the future events of the great tribulation, the return of the Lord Jesus to set up the kingdom of heaven. As he rules and reigns for 1,000 years, there's a prophetic note about Satan bringing up the nations again. And then all of a sudden, the Lord Jesus says, "That's enough's enough." And they're all cast into the lake of fire. And, that's prophetic. That's prophecy. That is one understanding of prophecy. The second understanding of prophecy is the preaching of the Word of God, being prophetic in the Word, prophesying, preaching the Word, to proclaim the Word. Now, in that, every believer that's been saved by the Lord Jesus has been given the Holy Spirit of God to teach them the Word of God. Yeah. We need our preachers. We need our teachers. But you are in and of yourself responsible for what Bible you know. Right. You and I are responsible for what Bible we have memorized. We are responsible to be submitted to the Holy Spirit of God, asking Him to work the Word into our lives. Somebody can tell whether or not you're for real by the amount of submission they see in your life, by the love for God that you have and the love for others that you have, a willingness to repent, a willingness to submit to the fact that you're wrong. Boy, how many believers I know, they don't even think they're wrong anymore. And then there are some that can take it too far also. I saw Brother Mike and Sister Terry yesterday morning. Was it yesterday morning? Friday morning. Yesterday morning. They're headed to North Carolina. And he stopped by to bring me my Bible. I had left it up at Brother Doyle's, and he wanted to make sure I had it. Of course, they wrote a note in there that says, "Did you forget something?" And so I'm not going to have to remember. This is my favorite Bible. I love my Bible. I love being able to write notes in it. And Brother Mike, every now and then, he'll get on himself, and, "Oh, I'm just an idiot, and I'm this." And I said, "Brother Mike, you're very human. We can go the wrong direction on that too. We can go the right. We can go another wrong direction and say, 'Well, I've never done anything wrong. My armpits don't stink.' Well, I can tell you right now, that's a wrong position. That's the Pharisaical position of Luke 18. But then we can go the other direction. I'm an idiot. And I'm this or that. And I'm blah blah blah. Shut up. You're a human. That's who you are. And this morning, standing here, I don't know how much longer I can stand here this morning. I'm going to do my best, though, I promise you. Because my body's just, it's just a mess right now, and I can't get in a happy spot. This gift of prophecy is the preaching of the Word of God. Now, as a believer, you've been given the Holy Spirit to teach you the Word of God. But now, as a believer, you've been given a position in the church house as to how God's going to use the Word of God that He works into your life. Some are great cooks. Some are administrators. Some are very good at cleaning toilets. By the way, I think every believer in the church house ought to be willing to clean a toilet and take the trash out. I've been around these camp meetings, and you don't see anybody lift a finger to help the kitchen staff. We've been to a number of camp meetings over the years, and Jamie and I just jump in. Why? I've been that one with a 10 and 20 worker amount of work needs to be done, and there's only two or three of us willing to do it. People willing to peel taters. And by the way, if you want to peel taters, I don't care how you do, as long as it gets done. Now, there's some of y'all got a big arrogant problem, and they got to do it my way. Now, when it comes to peeling taters, they don't. Yeah, but they're taking too much tater off. Hey, it's getting done, and I didn't have to do it. You all give me 100 pounds of taters and tell me you're not happy if somebody jumps in to help out.
How many do we do that day? We do 100, 200 pounds? How many pounds? We do 200 pounds of taters that day? We did taters for 3 or 4 hours. And nobody helped us. You know, it's a crying shame in the church house. There's 10% of the people doing 100% of the work. I love the old school gathering, and Brother Ray, that's on my calendar to go. I just hope my back will let me. Otherwise, I'm just going to be a pain in the back. Get it? Anyhow, I'm trying not to be a hemorrhoid. I really am not. I'm trying not to. But there's a lot of work that goes into that. Brother Raider's smart. He's like me. He's not a micromanager. And I like that about Brother Raider. Y'all know what needs to be done. Go get it done. Get her done. Y'all know we need pies made. Y'all know we need this made. Y'all know we need plates. You know, the pastor should never have to worry about the inventory on anything. It's all of us working together. And this idea of preaching, that's what we're all here for. Now, there are positions in preaching that God has called individuals to. Brother Paul was called to be a missionary. He was called to be an evangelist. Brother John the Revelator, an evangelist. Simon Peter as an apostle and as a preacher. Do you all notice that in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, after the ascension of the Lord Jesus, there's 120 of them up there praying, including the mother of the Lord Jesus. Miss Mary is up there praying. Well, it's everybody's duty to pray. Preacher, I need your prayers. Well, I'm hoping you done been praying for you before you call me and tell me you need your prayers. And by the way, your name's written down on a list somewhere. It's going to get prayed for that day. Does that make sense? I have a friend, y'all pray for Jeff and Monica Torrey. They're really going through it. And I went up there to, and it gets me, babe. They're going to a church out by the course there. And their kids go to the Christian school out there. And the dad, father-in-law, which I hadn't met him before, and Monica's dad, and then Jeff and dad are there. I showed up, and, hey, man, how's it going? We're kind of talking back and forth and, you know, talking military, talking golf, talking this, talking that. Had some scripture. You know what really got me? Their pastor wasn't there. As my friend, I felt that my brother and my friend probably needed just to be around. He's always been around to help me the last 4 or 5 years and been a good friend to me and whatnot. But his pastor wasn't there. I asked him, I said, is the church know? Yeah, they know. Is the pastor know? Yeah, I said, isn't it odd that he's not here? And he just kind of shrugged his shoulders. There's a whole lot of fellers that are calling themselves pastors and they're charlatans. They are devils. They're wolves. And that's why I need your prayers. Because I could very easily be a wolf, or I could very easily be a charlatan, or I could very easily do it wrong. And sometimes my attitude doesn't... you know, when Brother Ray wears that stinking Wolverine tie in, I just want to choke him with it. But don't tell him I said that, okay? No, it's a lot of things. Thank you for those that have been pulling weeds on the flower thing. And, you know, by the way, I can't do it. Sister Karis and I, we can sit back and be your cheerleaders. But everybody can pull weeds. I laid on the ground one day for about 10, 15 minutes and just pulled a few, and that's about all I could do. You know, there's a lot of things we can do, but there are things in the church house that you have no business doing. In many church houses today, there's those that think they ought to be the pastor or ought to be a Sunday school teacher or ought to be some kind of spiritual leader, and they're not. So they force themselves into those positions. And they do nothing but tear up the garden. I remember seeing as I grew up there at Horace Baptist Church, I can remember some people coming in and instead of being a guard dog for Pastor Charlie or for being a helper within the church, they thought they should be in charge of the church, and they did nothing but destroy the church. This idea of prophecy and the preaching of God's word, If you're not a preacher, don't even pretend to be.
Now, if you've got a testimony to share, you need to do that. They did testify in the New Old Testament and the New Testament, whether it was Moses' sister or even brother to King David and Asaph and those singing in the book of Psalms. If you've got a testimony to give, Lord's been good to me this week. And it's not a bragamony either. If you're going to do anything, brag on the Lord Jesus and what He's done for you. That's the gift of prophecy. The next thing I want us to look at is in verse number 10. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. This idea of discerning of spirits is to see through the deception and lies. There are some people that are just naive. Now let me say this. Get your head out of the sand. There's a whole lot of things in our world you should not be naive about. For example, this what's going on over in Dearborn, Michigan, is nothing but a beachhead for the enemy. I'm telling you, this Islamist Brotherhood, they are wanting, and they will in the days to come, they will kill Christians. They're already stoning them over there. The police chief, many of the deputies, I don't see how the sheriff of that county is even allowing it to happen, but it is. The mayor, he literally looked at one of the Baptist preachers and said, "I can't wait for you to get out of here." He's not a mayor for everybody. And then you've got the immoral ones, you've got the sodomites all upset because he took away the pride flag. It is amazing to me what's going on in our nation. And people don't realize it. See, right now it's too late. 20 and 30 years ago, they should have been stopping it. But oh, hey, let's be tolerant. Let's use our wording just right. This is where the cults get their claws into you. Is they'll use wording that you've heard before. Now it won't be the same. It won't be the same definition. But they'll use certain words. Jehovah's Witnesses are famous for that. Seventh-day Adventists are the closest to the Independent Baptist of any of the cults. The Catholics even. Now, you can generally see through their garbage. But, beloved, you ought to be able to see through deception and lies. If it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true. Some have been scammed by emails. Some have been scammed by texts. I'm going to wait till I get hate mail in the mail before I believe a text or an email. Hey, Jamie, we see it all week long. One that's real popular is Norton Antivirus, $354.67, and your card was declined. But you go to look at the email address, and it's nothing that even looks like it's from Norton or any of these. Car warranties, I've seen some of that. Life insurances, seen some of that. Listen, beloved, you're not careful, you'll be deceived. Now, I want to say this about this area of discernment. If you're in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's going to teach you how to sniff out baloney. You can tell the difference between an outhouse and the kitchen. Y'all understand what I mean by that? You should be able to tell the stench that comes from an outhouse and the good that's coming out of somebody cooking in the kitchen. Discernment. If it looks good, sounds good, but don't smell good, it ain't good. Amen. And there's a whole bunch of that going on out there. I have known a number of people that have been scammed and now they're worried about their $100,000 that they may be losing in their pension because they made a dumb mistake. My grandmother lost $300,000. To an inventor. The inventor was up and up, but his brother, who was taking care of the books, took the money, embezzled it, never found him again. $300,000 of grandpa's money is gone because grandma made a dumb decision. Well, if you're not careful, you'll be the next one. If it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true. Don't assume. Now, assuming, we all know what assuming makes us, right? Of both you and me.
Balaam's donkey. All right? In this area of discernment, beloved, as a Christian, with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, are you going to discern everything? No. That's where it's very wise that you get around people and have good relations with smart people in certain areas, whether it be finance, medical. I run stuff by Rachel all the time. We can Google it, but why not go to somebody who's been dealing with it for 30 plus years? You know, if I have this, finances, Sister Kara, she lived in that world and was horribly underpaid in that world. I think she's a brainiac when it comes to that. Of course, they don't feel like it sometimes, do we, sister? You'd be foolish to try to think you know it all and everything, because you don't. You don't. There's things that Jamie's learning, and I've been proud of her. She last night, she's sitting in her chair going through a seminar of some kind, and I'm sitting there just, I don't know, I get to be by her. Me and Opie do, so. But she's talking about stuff that she's learning, and then the city will ask her, do you have a degree in finance? No, just years of analyzing. Thinking it through, having some discernment. If something's $5 and it ought to be $50, you might want to be cautious. Beloved, that's the area of discernment. Now, it's seeing through the deception and the lies. Preachers. There are preachers that are doing nothing but just outright lying, and people will follow them. Let me throw out a lie I've heard lately and see how you react to this. Preacher standing and preaching, and he says that the seven churches of Revelation 2 and 3 are only spiritual, they're not real. What's the first thing you would say? Because they were real churches. Whether it be Laodicea or Ephesus or Pergamos, Thyatira, all those places, Philadelphia, they were literal churches that were churches at the same time. Anybody can figure that out. Where would they get this stuff out? Because they're idiots. They don't read their Bible and they don't allow the Holy Spirit to teach it to them. They go to Matthew Henry or they go to John Gill or they go to Augustine or Jerome or Origen. And by the way, those three last that I mentioned, those are the three fathers of the Catholic Church. Origen believed in spirit babies. You and I, we all came from some spiritual world out there. You know who else teaches that? The Mormons do. Jerome taught that you have to be washed or sprinkled, but there has to be a mode of baptism in order to wash your sins away. Augustine, which I've heard a lot of people, even more so, his stuff is just devilish. So men will go to other men and other books rather than going to the Bible. Now, I know some fellas that got, some preachers, they got 20,000 books in their library. You know, beloved, all you need is the Holy Spirit of God, His King James Bible, and an empty notebook to write down as the Holy Spirit gives you. I'm telling you. I've been giving you my notes. I mean, you're welcome to start a fire with them. But the fact is, you don't... Listen, the pastor is needed in your life because there are times we all get lazy in our study and our prayer life. And you need somebody to tell you what you don't want to hear. We all have those times and those areas of our life where we're struggling. And a good pastor sees and tells you. And you don't like it, you get mad at him. And to tell you the truth, I've said this 1,000 times, I don't know if Jamie's heard me say this, but you ain't got a right to be mad at me. I've been in the Word studying, you're the one being the fool. You're the one that's not studying. I remember years and years ago, a preacher stood and preached this, and it shocked my world. He said, you've got to be thankful for the pastor to pray for you when you're too worthless and too lazy to pray for yourself. Wow. That's hard work. That's hard language, isn't it? But he's right. How many times in my life was I wrong with God, didn't want nothing to do with God, and Pastor Charlie and Mama Peggy were on their knees begging God to grip my heart again? Wow. Now that's discernment.
in this area of discernment, it knows the heart and the agenda of the deceivers. There's a whole lot of, and I've told you this before, you want to be cautious in these churches today. And I'll give you some examples who are and some examples who are not. But there's a whole lot of fellas that are just in it for the dollar. You know, Kenneth Copeland and his airplane that the jet airplane that he got, and Benny Hinn, and the list goes on. Jimmy Swaggart, I'm going to tell you right now, he's the devil. His doctrine was wrong. His doctrine was very much anti-Bible, anti-gospel. It's amazing how they all started preaching on eternal security after they got caught with the harlots. Yeah. It is amazing to me that we ought to be discerning of that from the Word of God with these men, that all they want to preach and they want to pastor, they want to stand and preach, but even their doctrine's wrong. I seen it at Brother Doyle's camp meeting. A feller stood up to preach on, and the message I've heard 1,000 times, and it's still wrong. Listen, those messages to the churches have principles and they have values for the church and the believers in the church. For example, Laodicea, they had become lukewarm. It was the whole church that had become lukewarm. The preacher, the deacon, the Sunday school teacher, this person, that person, they had all done that. And what that meant was, from that description, from that doctrine, hey, we as a church need to get right with God. Ephesus had left their first love. Ephesus got so busy and they got so bent out of shape on running down with the bus ministry and running down over here, running over. They forgot to love the Lord Jesus. And I've seen that in so many churches. Churches that would rather take a woman to a closet and show her some dresses she can pick out as opposed to asking her, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? They want to give them dresses, but they don't want to give them the gospel. Well, you give them the gospel and let the Holy Spirit work on the heart, and they'll start coming to church in such a manner that looks righteous. Now, I'm going to tell you this right now. I'd rather have a lady in slacks than a woman in a dress that's so tight it looks like a bubblegum wrapper. I'd rather have fellas come to the church house, and yes, I'm not going to wear my holy shorts. I'm not going to. I understand a dress code, but good grief, when you make that dress code a picture of whether it's righteous or not, that's stupid. There's a whole lot of preachers out there preaching some real silliness. All right, can I get on my soapbox? I'll get on it for 10 seconds. The idiots that want to teach that Jesus could have sinned. Lord Jesus, be merciful, please. That's the idea of the gift of discerning spirits. Have you ever noticed that some people can sniff it out before you do? They can. Let me give you an example. It's 1991. And babe, we were at Jesse before he passed away. I miss Jesse. I done forgot their last name. Isn't that terrible? Anyway, we're watching the Bulls play the Los Angeles Lakers in the first title there that they got in June of 91. And about midway through the third quarter, I looked over at the guys. I said, guys, this looks like a game we've seen before. If they can get within 6 by the end of the quarter, they're going to win this game. The Bulls got within 6 by the end of that quarter, and they won. Wow, you're a prophesier. You're a foreteller. No, I just know what they've done in the past, and I know what they can do in the future. Hey, beloved, that's discernment. Have y'all ever been somewhere and you say, wait a minute, I've seen this problem before? You reckon you went through it before and made your mistakes so that this time you can go through it and not? Wait a minute, something ain't right here. Have y'all ever been on the clearance rack? And you see something for $5, something for $5. Then you grab something that says it's $5, but you can't tell if it's actually there. And then you go back up to the register and they say, no, that was just in the wrong spot. Yep. Done that before, right? Having discernment. Should this be? What part of this picture doesn't make sense?
That's discernment. Now, let me go on. The gift of speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Verse number 10. To another, the working of miracles. To another, of prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, I want you to understand this. Please, if you're watching, the tongues movement is not of God. What you have seen over these last few hundred years of the Pentecostal and Charismatic is not of God at all. It is of Lucifer. That's right, it's devilish. Anytime you see the word tongue in the Scriptures, it is a known language. Hold your place there and come with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Now there's a couple other things that we notice about the tongues movement. Whenever you see tongues in the book of Acts, there's always a Jew present. See, it was used for them to see that this is the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is the Messiah. He is died and rose again. He is God. Now, when you come to the book of Acts, look at verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. He's talking about the disciples. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there prepared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Cloven tongues like as of fire, as it sat upon each of them. That's what it looks like. This is what's happening. And they were all filled, verse 4, with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As the Spirit gave them utterance. Cloven tongues. Now watch this, verse number 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. So what does that mean? There's a whole bunch of them there with a bunch of different languages. Verse 6, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Y'all listening? This blah, 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 blah is a bunch of satanic nonsense. In Bible college, we used to joke about, see my yellow bow tie. See me yellow bow tie. Or the Benny Hinn's of the world. Ha la 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 la. That is nothing but wickedness. Now we know at Babel, God confused them all with languages. They were trying to build a tower to heaven. God says enough of that. All throughout the Scriptures we see this. Now Paul makes mention in 1 Corinthians that I speak a language of angels. Do I speak as angels? Listen, beloved, I don't know what you know what? I don't care what the language in heaven is. I know this. I'm going to hear it, understand it, and speak it. I'm going to a prepared place. Because see, I am a prepared person. And my Lord said He's going to take care of me. Oh my word. It's not like you're going to get to heaven and have to learn Spanish, French, and all them other languages put together. Yeah, you're going to have to go to language school your first 5,000 years in heaven. Now, beloved, as you make your way back to 1 Corinthians, this idea of the gift of speaking in tongues there in verse 10 is a speaking with other languages. Hola, abuela. ¿Cómo está usted? Te amo. Mi con todo mi alma, mi corazón. I love you. Hello, sister. So it'd be different now. Hi, baby. My sweet cakes. I sure love you. What language is that? Hillbilly. Sister Margie, I love seeing your smile. You know that. What language was that? Michigander. You guys look really wonderful sitting over there. Hey, young lady. How y'all doing over there, Miss Catherine? Isn't that how we do it? That's how we do it. Hey, it's good to see you, young lady. There's always some type of bless your heart. Of course, bless your heart, I won't go into detail, but that old Georgia peach over there. Then there's Rachel. How you guys doing over there? And then Brother Ray is, no, I'm just kidding.
Languages are all different. Languages are all different. Hey, y'all, there's
none of this jibber-jabber baby, I don't even know what you want to call it, other than Luciferian doctrine. It's devilish doctrine. Devilish doctrine. To think all these other languages. Now, there are those who do speak other languages.
Sister Bensie knows two languages really well. Unfortunately, I did learn the Marine language, but you can't repeat that, and you can't repeat that kind of language in a family setting.
There are different languages. Acts chapter 2, it's earthly languages that are known to mankind. Anybody that preaches you, you ought to have enough discernment to know. Anybody that wants to sit back and want to speak in tongues with the way the world's doing or the charismatic or the Pentecostals are doing, you ought to have enough sense to say, nope, that's devilish.
Are there those that can? My dad was. My dad spoke Spanish fluently. They used him in the prison system in the state of Illinois as a counselor, and he was able to speak to a number of young men. Of course, Dad knew the Puerto Rican Spanish, Cuban Spanish, the right Spanish, according to everybody that I have ever talked to about Spanish, because it has more of a Spaniard background than it does anything else. Languages. There are some that have that interpretation of those languages. I know there are some, with, for example, in the deaf community. Now, the individual might be speaking a Spanish or a French and nobody around there knows who they are, but they might be able to sign. Food? Water? They may not know the term aqua. I mean, there are ways that we can do it. And it's amazing how the Lord makes it so that we can understand each other, able to communicate with each other. Beloved, right now, the number one language on earth is English. It is the trade language. It is the language of the common man. I think it's weak in a lot of areas. I think it's an odd language, but God used it on purpose. That's why the King James Bible is in English languages. Now, in this discernment of it, again, the Holy Spirit administers the gift. Not everybody has it. Not everybody is going to be able to understand a language or speak another language. Boy, you get into some areas of Florida, get into Louisiana, that old Cajun, oh my word. You talk about trying to understand it, it's tough. But there are a lot of people that do. You get into prison, there's a jargon within the prison community. You get within this community or that community, there's a difference of languages. And it is amazing to me how God can open up and cause each other to have some type of ability to communicate. Now, I don't think we'll be communicating with gorillas and chimpanzees or Ray Mills or anything like that. He's back here about to fall asleep, so I had to wake him up. You know, beloved, the idea of stay in your lane is something to think about. What has God gifted you with? Discernment? Well, don't hold back if you've got a better idea or an opinion of it. Now, there's a whole bunch of opinions that stink. Amen? And there's a lot of opinionated people that don't know anything about anything, but seem to think they know everything about everything, right? And even those people, you better have some discernment around, because they have an agenda. Beloved, we live in a world where there are gifts given, and those gifts ought to be used. If you're not using a gift God give you, and there's other listing of gifts, and we'll get into those. But if you're not using your gift, friends, you're not helping the church. All of it is to glorify the Lord Jesus and to give the gospel to the lost and to grow the believer. That's what all this is for. It's not for you to
hide or hoard. It's not for you to get any glory from it. It's not for you to think you're important. Beloved, only the Lord Jesus is important. No one else in the church house is.
Well, wait a minute, that makes me feel better. Hey, I'm so important that the Lord Jesus went to the cross and died for me.
That's how important I am to God. And I don't care if I'm important to you or not. I just know I'm important to the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for the Sunday school lesson, and we pray it's been a help to us on these gifts. And I'd ask you, Lord, that you would bless your word being read this morning and help us to know what gifts are ours and how to use them. But most of all, help us to glorify you with them. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.